Once again, welcome everyone to Christ Central Church. My name is Joe Crummy. I'm going to be speaking today. And just to say, our friends Mark and Debbie, part of our church, are serving in Charlottetown this morning with Christ Community Church. So send our greetings to them. And again, if it's your first time with us, welcome. We've been going through a series in the book of Joshua. And so we're going to pick that up again today. But as we begin, I have a question for you. So here's the question. Let's see if we can get some answers. What are some of the ways that we maybe, if we're going to remember something important from our past, what are some of the ways we might remember something from the past? Anyone have any ideas what you might do that you might remember to honor something or a memory or an important date or something that's happened in your life? What are some things that people do to remember things from their past? Write it down. Gary's the only person who's answering it probably that way. But anyways, that's a good one, Gary. Write it down. What else? Take a picture. That's a very popular one. What else? A time capsule. What a brilliant idea. My whole house is a time capsule, can I just say? It's true. I collect a lot of things because I have a lot of memories. What's a really sort of new one in the last maybe 10, 15 years that has to do with a certain type of ink? Tattoos, that's right. I feel like I'm the only person who doesn't have a tattoo. I'm a rebel by not getting a tattoo. People now, they get a tattoo because they put a special date or a picture or something like that. All kinds of different ways to remember. And so here's some of my old school ones. And if you can bear with me, this is my photo book. Isn't that cool? This is my photo book. My dad and I took a trip in 2008 to New York City, and we put all the photos into, and we remembered it all, and that's a very special thing. I'm a big one for pictures, so on your phone, but like old school, you actually print them off, and you have them with you, and so I've got lots of different photos here that remind me of a lot of different things, and I know many of you have lots of different ways that you remember important things. Now, one of the things we're going to take a look at today is something that, in the Bible, they did to remember what God has done. And so, if you remember last week, and I'll just do a quick review, Mark was talking from Joshua chapter 3, and we pick up the story, and we've got God's people who were wandering around in a desert, and God wants to take them to the promised land, and God has these promises he wants to fulfill, and he wants to get his people from point A to point B. And guess when God decides to do that? At flood season, as they have to cross the Jordan River. And Mark talked about how it just seems like, from a human point of view, that's the absolute worst time. Talk about, Lord, take me deeper than my feet can ever wander. Like that, Mark showed that picture of flood season of the River Jordan, and you're kind of going like, God, no offense, but like, that's the wrong time to do it. And yet God said, get ready, we're going. And we read last week about how God said to the priest, put your foot in the water, and as soon as you do that, the waters are going to part, and it happened. And they walked upon dry land, and they're able to cross. And Mark was talking about how we have to face the obstacles, the Jordans that God puts before us, that we sometimes have to put our foot out and by faith step out, trusting that God is going to fulfill what God has said to do. And we have those obstacles in our personal life, and we have those obstacles as a church family. Because in today's terms, the promised land isn't a physical piece of land. The promised land is us getting to know God more. That's all part of what life is about. We're created to know and enjoy God. And we're created to walk by faith in knowing God, individually and together. And we, as Mark said last week, and I didn't like his answer, I'll be honest. He's not here, so I can say it, but he'll listen to it. I didn't like Mark's answer, and it's actually a biblical answer. What's the main way God seems to use in order for us to grow in walking by faith? Trials, tribulations, obstacles, hard things. Oh, God. Oh, I don't like that answer. Did I mention I don't like that answer? It seems like throughout God's word in our stories, in order for us to have to walk by faith and to grow in that, it seems like God allows challenges, obstacles, difficult things to come our way that we have to make decisions on. And we're saying as a church family, we've put our foot into a lot of different things that we feel God's called us to do. So we're doing the renovations, even though we didn't have all the money. We're church planting in Dartmouth, even though it's going to cause a void here with people and leadership. We have a lot of different things that we believe God has asked us to step by faith, and we're trusting that as we do that, God's going to make a way, that God's going to provide more leaders, God's going to give us vision for what he wants to do here with this building, all those different things. That is how we grow. Now, here's the thing I just want to focus on this morning. Usually I have a three-point sermon. You're lucky today. It's 1 point. You were a little too excited on that one, okay? It's just 1 point we're going to go over and over again. And it's simply this. Okay, and I don't want you to miss this. If we are to walk by faith, and we are to follow the Holy Spirit, and we're to follow Jesus, what is one, there's lots of different ways, but here's one way that can help us walk by faith. And this is what it is. It's remembering what God has done in the past in order for us to rely on God for today and tomorrow. Very simple. We're just remembering. So all the songs that we were just singing, that helped us. We're remembering, God, you've done this in the past, and because I've seen you fulfill and you've come through, I believe you for the future. That's where we're going to pick things up today. So let's read together Joshua chapter 4, and for the sake of time, we're going to read 1 and 11 and 18 to 24, and so the words are going to be up on your screen, and I find it helpful to read it out loud. So if you're able to read, why don't you join with me, and we're going to read through this together, okay? Here we go. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark, the Lord your God, in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan, at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Now the priest who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. And the priest came up out of the water, river, carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that had been taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" So, God makes a way. They get through the Jordan. God gives instructions to Joshua. Pick 12 men, one from each tribe. And I just find it interesting. Don't take a stone, you know, at the edge of the... Don't go back to the middle of the Jordan, where the ark and the priest are, take a stone, take it with you, and you're going to set them up. And they're going to be a memorial. They're going to be a sign to remember what God has done. And in the future, when anyone asks you, what are these there for? You're going to tell them the story of what God has done, God has provided. And it's going to be a witness to all the people of the earth, and it's going to be a reminder for you to know and to fear God. Folks, a lot of times, God allows us to use symbols. God allows us to use signs that point to what God has done. Now, we don't worship those signs and symbols. They're a tool to help point us towards God. But God reminds us of his faithfulness. And folks, this morning I brought just a couple that are helpful for me. So this is just me personally, and we're going to do a few for the church family. So my Bible is one of the biggest signs of God's faithfulness. Obviously, I read God's word, but if you went through my Bible, I've got notes and pages, and I've got stuff written everywhere of God's provision. And so much so, my Bible fell apart. And Gary was very kind, and he actually got it rebound for me. Now I'm kind of getting old, and I can't see very well, so now I'm in trouble. But this Bible, which I've had since 1994, when God really got a hold of my life, has been a sign to me of God's faithfulness. And I have written in my commitment, Sunday, September 11, 1994, was a powerful day in my life. And I wrote down a prayer to God that's still there. And then I've added, and I was in a water fight at Green Hill Lake Camp during the church weekend, and you can see the water stains in my Bible as well. It's been through a lot, but that's a sign to me that is really important. I told you about photos, so as I'm going to go through, I've got some different photos of different times and seasons of our life that are a reminder to me. It's powerful. And then I've got all kinds of things in here today. This is going to be really fun. I'm trying not to break things, okay? So, this is what I'm going to do, is in here. Oh man, I hope this all doesn't fall apart. Bear with me. In here, because I'm old school, so I have a lot of things on my computer, but I've got boxes like this, and you know what these are full of? These are full of cards and notes that you have written to me to encourage me. And I've got boxes of these. Did I tell you I collect a lot of things? Angela's just shaking her head. That might have been an Air Jordan box that it might be kept in as well, but we won't mention that. Those are really helpful. Because when the deadly D's come of depression and discouragement and all of those things, I just pull them out and I just read them. And it's a sign of God's faithfulness. What God's done in the past, God's going to do in the future. So for us as a church, let me just go through a few things today that might be new for some of you. And for some of you, you're going to say, Joe, you've already talked about this 100 times. I'm going to do it 101 times. Because you know why? Because we're going to go, they point to God's faithfulness. And so when our church first started, it was hard. And a lot of times this is what I did, and I have some still today. And for some of you, this is going to be something new. These are called CDs that had worship music on them. And back in the day, I got my first CD player when I graduated from university in 1995. So that tells you a whole lot of things. And for those next couple of years, I listened to worship music, and that was a powerful way God spoke to me and helped sustain me. And I kid you not, and I know I'm sentimental, but it goes beyond cinema. I drove to New Hampshire when I was on sabbatical, 6 hours, and I pulled out all these CDs from the 90s, and I listened to the gang, and I was crying in the van as I was driving, because I remember where I was, and here we are almost 30 years later, the faithfulness of God. And so, powerful. So yeah, you can go on Spotify, you can do it yourself. Angela and I went to Urbana in 1996. We still have the CD, what God spoke to us there. I've got my DC talk, Jesus Freak, 1995. So just to say God spoke to me so much through that, I could go on and on. Those are some personal ones. My first love conference was 1997, and I've got a photo here of Dave, Sully, and the team as Smythe Street. At the time, Smythe Street Cathedral was kind enough to let us hold our first conference there. And that was the first time Dave and Rosie came from England, who were just here with us in February and have been helping us for 26 years now. And that's just one photo of how God met with us there. And that really solidified us as a church. And God's provision, it was in 1997, $18,000 to bring them from England and the host, and we started with $10 in the bank. I know. It's crazy, and unless God had said to do it, it is absolutely foolish. But God provided in just a miraculous way, and we met God that weekend, and it changed many of our lives. And at the end of the weekend, folks, you can't make this stuff up. We had $20,000 come in. So we not only paid the 18, we had $2,000 to sow into the future. And that first line that Dave and Rosie came in 1997, which was a miracle that they came from England to help us because we were just a group of like 25 people that were really didn't know what we were doing, and we asked for their help. And a guy named Reese Scott came with them, and back in 1997, almost 27 years ago, and Reese was from South Africa, but had been mentored by Dave, and wherever Dave and Rosie went that year, they went. He went with them, and we connected with Reese, and we didn't know that 15 years later, Reese was going to help plant a church in Vancouver with our church here in Fredericton. And God knit those things together. And I was just with Reese back in January for a week, and we had James and Liesl here with us for 4 years, and they went to help plant that church. And that church is thriving, doing so well. And as we just shared in the last couple of weeks, Reese just found out he's got brain cancer just suddenly in the last, like, four weeks, and it's not a good prognosis. So we're praying for God to work a miracle and to extend his life. But God is faithful to us, and God will be faithful again. We ran several, all kinds of alpha courses, what we called them back then, which was an introduction to the Christian faith. So I kept all the manuals. I know. Did I tell you I'm a pack rat? You're going to learn about some of my OCD tendencies here this morning. But here I have January, this is January 1997. This is our first alpha course that we did at Nancy and Cyril's house. And Kelly Curtis is right down here. On February 14th, 1997, became a Christian at that, and Marley became at the next one. And I've got, that's teary, man. I'm telling you. Whew, I cried all through worship. I might cry all through my message. And that's okay. But every Alpha Corps, we wrote down the names, and we prayed, like, every day for everybody who came to Alpha. And that's a sign that reminds me of God's faithfulness through that. I'm going to have to keep going. We had our own Riverstones project in 1999. So, come on. These Israelites, guys, they were tough back then, okay? They put boulders on their shoulder. Like, this is about all I can do right here, okay? A little shot put. But in 1999, we had an opportunity to buy the building downtown, 487 Brunswick Street, which we were able to do. And again, with a small group of people, we needed $57,000 as a down payment, and we had zero. $57,000, it was $185,000, but anyways, we needed $57,000. And we actually did a Riverstones project, and because I'm Joe Crummy, I actually have the original... Everyone makes fun of me for keeping, but when the computer goes down, guess what happens? Everybody comes to Joe and says, I know you have a paper copy of this. Thank you very much. It's true. So here it is. We were in the meeting place back then. This is our Riverstones project based from this passage in Joshua 4. And what we did is we had a stone for every $1,000 that was given, and we unveiled that July. We're trying to buy it. And this is what we did. Some of you remember this, but we had like a bag, and we'd pull out a stone every time to represent $1,000. And honestly, we weren't even sure if we would get one. Yeah, you're laughing, but it's true, okay? And on that first one, we pulled out 31. And I just remember like putting the stones out, and people are just like, you could just feel faith. We were crying. Like, honestly, we didn't know if we'd get one, folks. We got 31 that first time. And then we did another one a few weeks later. We got 15 more. We were at 46. And we were so excited. We were like, man, we've given all that we can give. And we still need 11,000 more. And on the last one, we pulled out 11 more. And we got our 57,000. We put the money in the bank Monday. We bought the building on Tuesday. It was that close. God provided. And if any of you want some... Here's a photo of 487 Brunswick Street back 100 years ago, and I still have that up on my desk up there. It's a sign of God's faithfulness. We were there 20 years. God used that building for us to do alpha, drop-ins, all kinds of incredible things. Folks, that's a sign of God's faithfulness. I got all kinds of pictures, and I do. I've got all the pictures of people being baptized from all around the world. God saved, healed. We've had babies born that shouldn't have been born. Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. I could go through and I could just show you all the different photos. We've had church plants started that we never dreamed would be. We went to UMB in 08. If you remember, we outgrew 487 Brunswick Street, and we did a trial run of 4 to 6 weeks at UMB renting, which was a lot of work. We had to like quadruple our welcome teams, and it was more money and all of that. And in that trial time, we had the big flood, and our building had 5 feet of water in it and was out of commission for 6 months because it fried our electrical panel and heating. But we were still able to meet because we were already at UMB. Praise God. Who gets the credit for that one? God gets the credit for all of these stories, folks. I keep saying, we're not smart enough to figure some of these things out. God provided. I'm going to go on. Cliff Street, I've told this one so many times, but for those of you who haven't heard this one, this is a longer one. I'll just say this. There was a piece of land on Cliff Street in 09 that was for sale. We went for it. We had zero money. We put a bid of $0 on that piece of land. It is crazy. And lo and behold, it's a long story. That's a good one for another day. The land sold to a different group, but the group who sold the land gave us $150,000 from that sale. I'm going to leave you because come back. You want to hear more on that one, okay? And then Gary and I were having, on our back deck, having a coffee with someone a little bit after that, and they wrote a check for $250,000. To say, here's to go towards whatever God has for you. And if you, all that money went to purchase here so that we could do that. God's provided. I can go on. We had the Limerick land. We bought that through our prayer meeting. A prophecy came through about a certain amount of money that we would come second, that we would still get the land. That all happens, which is another miraculous thing. We had Gemma come from England to help set up and do our kids' club. And she had to get a certain type of visa, and that year from November to July, there was 15,000 of these across Canada. And we were hoping she would get one, and like we were hoping she would move like November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. July 31st was the deadline. And folks, there's a tracker that you can see, like it goes from 15,000, and as it goes down, it goes, 8,000, 6,000, 4,000, 1,000, 100, 50, 25, 10. We were down to 10 on July 28th. And she got one of those last 10, and Gemma was able to come here for several years to help us. Folks, I could go on and on and on. My main point is this. Those stories are signs of God's provision, God's faithfulness. He gets all the credit. God gets all the glory. It's God's provision. And folks, those are kind of some of the unique ones and more exciting. Like, God's provided our daily bread every day. In Sutton, many times, or in the small, seemingly insignificant ways. And all I'm trying to do is with those stones of remembrance, I'm just trying to help us remember. These are all signs of God's faithfulness in the past so that our faith grows to rely on God for what we have in need today and tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and in the years to come. And folks, it comes down to this. It all starts with recognizing God's greatest provision. You know what God's greatest provision was? Sending his son, Jesus. That's God's greatest provision. And Ben read out from Psalm 107, and if he had more time, he talked about there's different people groups there. And folks, if he read out all those, somewhere in there you would find out what sort of category you fit in. So Ben's saying, some people are lost. They were like, they just knew, like, I'm in a desert. I'm desperate. And they called on the name of Jesus. Some people rebelled. They were foolish. They rebelled against God. I don't need God. I don't believe in God. I don't want God. And yet God broke through with his provision of Jesus. And you can go through all of that. And folks, the reality is, whether we know it or not, as Gary said, without Jesus, we're lost. We're separated from God. We're created, each one of us, in God's image. Therefore, we're valuable. But the Bible says that because of the sin of our forefather Adam, we're lost. We're dead. We're spiritually dead. And even though there's good remnants of being made in the image of God, we're valuable. We display gifts and talents that reflect our Creator God. We're cut off from God. We're separated from God. And folks, there's nothing we could do to get right with God. So he provided his son, Jesus, who lived the perfect life, fulfilled all of God's law. And what are some of the signs that we remember about Jesus? At Christmas, what signs do we remember about Jesus? We've got a manger. We've got a star. So many signs that remind us of Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, fully God, fully human. The most unique birth ever on planet Earth. God entered creation. What are some of the signs at Easter that we remember? We just had Easter. What's the main one? The cross. It's a sign that points us to Jesus' sacrifice, that he died for our sins, he granted forgiveness, the wrath of God, the justice of God that was rightly deserved was poured out on Jesus. Justice was served and mercy was given at the cross. And those of us who are in Christ, who follow Jesus, who believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the gate, that Jesus is the good shepherd, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Spirit is born in us. We become his children. What's another sign? Baptism, water baptism. What's that a sign of? Repentance, that's a sign of we've been united with Christ. And the Bible says, as we go down under the waters, we're united in his death. Our old self dies. As we're brought up under the waters, we've been brought up into resurrection life. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, God raises us to new life. Now it puts a new spirit within us. So what does the dove, what does fire represent? The Holy Spirit. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. It's a sign that we too are filled with God's Spirit. The Spirit of God's a down payment. It's a deposit guaranteeing what is yet to come. He's our helper, counselor, advocate. Communion, what is that? What are bread and wine, the cup, symbolizing? What does it point to? Jesus, what he's done. You see all the signs? They point to God's greatest provision, Jesus. And there'll be a sign, won't there, one day? There'll be a sign that Jesus is returning. That Jesus is coming again. He's coming to judge the living and the dead. He's coming to return for his bride. Folks, that's God's greatest provision. And in closing, I tell you, it was just one point. We remember what God provided in the past. Helps us rely on God today and tomorrow. And Moses said this from God. Those 12 stones of remembrance, here's the purpose of them. It's really twofold. And all these signs we're talking about are twofold. First one, Joshua said, it's going to be a sign to all the people. It's going to be a sign to all the nations. Look what God has done. And it's going to help you to remember to fear and to know God. Folks, one of the reasons we gather here every week is for those two reasons. We remember what God has done. We proclaim it so that everyone knows, hey, look what God's done. And it draws us closer to God. And that's why meeting together is so important, whether it's on Sunday, at our homes, everything. What do? In our songs, this is why the words to our songs are so important, we're remembering what God has done. So I can come in here this morning, and I might not feel a thing. I had a terrible night last night. It was bad. I come this morning, wake up this morning, I'm in God's Word, and I'm going to come and I'm going to meet with God's people, and God changes me in his presence. He changes me as I remind myself the words, all my days, God, even in the valley, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift your name high, whether I feel it or not, whether I'm going through it, I'm going to trust you. I can feel things breaking off as we worship. God, you're Yahweh. You are to be exalted. Really, less of me and more of you. What are we doing? We're saying we're a witness to the world. When you tell our stories, folks, when you tell your story of how God got a hold of your life, you're being a witness. You're letting all the nations know God's real, God's alive. And what are you doing? It actually helps you to draw closer to God. Folks, telling these stories this morning, please, it's a witness that God's real, that God provides for us individually, for us together. And it helps us to remember that God's going to provide again. Folks, Mark went through it last week. We got a lot of needs. We got a lot of vulnerable areas. It's tough. Folks, God's provided in the past. God's going to provide again. We were praying this morning. Folks, all those things I shared, we didn't have a sweet clue how God was going to provide. But he did. Can I say to you right now, it's kind of vulnerable as a leader to say, I don't have a sweet clue how God's going to provide. But he is. And as Mark said last week, who gets the credit and the glory when God comes through? God and God alone. Folks, everything that we can give glory to today for the past 27 years, it's to God, to Jesus, and the Spirit alone. Yes, he worked in and through us, but he ultimately gets the glory. Folks, today, we've heard it in the last several months. God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing amongst us. God's doing a new thing. And we're praying, God, would you help us to perceive it? And folks, that's our prayer this morning. That as God does a new thing, God's going to provide. He's going to provide vision. He's going to provide leadership. He's going to provide financially. He's going to provide all kinds of different ways. We're not resting in the past. Please hear me. I just want to be clear. I don't want to go back to 487 Brunswick Street, okay? No offense to Suzanne Laver, who still works in that building. I don't want to go back to hotels. I don't want to go back to, like, when I share these stories, it's not to go back to the glory days. They weren't really glory days. So we're not saying these things to get stuck back there. Again, it's to propel us forward. We don't want to rest in the past. We want to provide, and we want to see God's provision for today. In closing, I just want to give two quick updates on God's provision, and then I'll leave us with sort of a challenge. So as we know, Mark and Debbie are heading to Dartmouth at the end of June, which they're spearheading our church plant into Dartmouth. And all of a sudden, you know, what seemed like way out there is like Gulf. We're in the middle of April and they're leaving, and like Mark's only here a couple more Sundays. And obviously Mark, full-time role with our church, he covered a lot of different things. And we're trying to figure out a way forward on some of those things. So one part of that, and I just wanted to share an update this morning, is we have made the decision to hire Taylor Quinlan for 7 hours a week to help with our worship sort of whole aspect of that as a church family, which just encompasses a lot of things. And as we know, that's going to be more than 7 hours. But for now, with his full-time job, we're going to help. He's going to help us in that area. So we're really thankful for Taylor and Emily in that. And so that's one way of God's provision sort of in that important area of church life. And we did receive a summer grant, again, from the government for the summer. And so I'm going to put this little asterisk beside it so that it's not a conflict of interest. While I was away on sabbatical, the elders and directors agreed, and we're going to have Holly Weaver with us for the months of June and July. So that's a great thing. And so Holly was here 2 years ago, and so we're thrilled that she's back with us for those 8 weeks. And so she's going to help them with our youth and kids and different things in church life. So already there's two ways of God's provision. All right. In closing, here's what I'd like us to do. What stories, what signs can maybe you tell this week? Maybe your family, maybe your coworkers, your friends, here through church, maybe we can put some videos together. What are some of your God's stories of God's provision in the past that would be an encouragement and a witness to those around you? Nancy Hawkins, she didn't even know I was speaking on this morning, and it's so encouraging because we pray, and anyone else is able to join us, 8:30 to like 9:40, we pray for an hour before this meeting on Sunday morning. Anyone's able to join us, and it's so encouraging as a speaker. A lot of times when you go in and you know what you're prepared, they don't, and Nancy goes, well, I just feel like, you know, we got to remember God's provision. And I remember we needed our first soundboard, and we had a yard sale, and the soundboard was like $900, and that seemed like as much as, you know, $1 million today, and we had a yard sale, and God provided the exact amount. And I was like, I get a good memory. I forgot that one completely. I said, Nancy, you don't know what I'm going to speak on this morning, but, and then she said, well, just remember, and she went through, and I'm like, that's in the message this morning, that's in the message this morning. That's fairly encouraging as a speaker, that maybe God's wanting to say something. But for you personally, and can I just say this as the last thing, you might not have many stories, but you know what you can do? You can be encouraged from other people's stories. And as you hear other people's stories, God's going to give you your own stories of His faithfulness, of His provision. It comes first in Jesus. Everything flows from there. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to sing one more song, really just declaring God's faithfulness. And folks, you guys know, as Mark said last week, we're preaching to ourselves, okay? This is not just in theory, this is in reality. And so why don't you stand if you're able, and I just want to pray, and I want to ask for God's Holy Spirit to really help cement in our hearts God's faithfulness, His provision in the past, helps us as we remember to rely on God for today and tomorrow and the future. Because folks, we're going to go on here in a minute, okay? The next couple, we got Jericho coming. God kind of closes, you know, the Jordan as soon as they go over. Guess what? He's not going back. And guess what? We've got more obstacles to come. God, we thank you this morning. God, that you're real. We thank you for your great provision of Jesus. Thank you for the provision of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the provision of your written word. We thank you for the provision of your church, family of God. And God, we just pray this morning, God, is it, we just remember, God, your faithfulness, your provision, your goodness to us, God. The Lord, would you help us, Lord, to trust you again, Lord. God, help me in my unbelief sometimes. God, to believe, Lord, that, God, we can trust you. God, as we face obstacles in Jordan, Lord, you're going to provide again, God, and you're going to get the credit and the glory, God. You're going to grow and mature us. God, that you walk with us. God, we just confess, we trust you again today. Lord, we don't lean on our own understanding or our own strength, God. Lord, we're cast ourselves upon you again. You're our provider. Be glorified in our lives.